Hi, welcome to another episode of Lessons for My Kids. Today I'm referring to an online publication called Pursuit of Passive Income. And they wrote, it's been some time, but they wrote The Secret to Never-Ending Income, These 25 Skills Will Pay You for a Lifetime. And I really looked at some of these and thought, these are really good, that they are skills that we should all be able to do while we are moving into a more digital world and more things are being found in your device or online. There are some soft skills and there are some things that you can do that will always be in demand. And again, while this might seem a little dated, if you think about it in the current context, at whatever time it is you're reading this or listening to this, I think you can probably come up with some examples that would help you to understand where the author is coming from. So with that, The Pursuit of Passive Income and The 25 Skills Will Pay You for a Lifetime. And so again, these aren't always easy. Some of them may not be possible in all cases, but for the most part, if you can master some of these things, it will hopefully keep you employed for a long time and will keep you moving forward in your life. And so with that, the first one they say is the ability to sell and negotiate. And if you can sell not just a product or a service, but being able to sell yourself, being able to negotiate. Maybe in business, you're negotiating a contract. Maybe you're negotiating pricing. Maybe you're negotiating a corporate takeover. In the first place you start, though, in a job is you have to sell yourself, and then you have to negotiate your own hourly rate, maybe when you're 15, 16 years old. And then as you move through college, hopefully you've gained some negotiating skills and you are going for that first job, and you might have to negotiate what that first salary is. Or you're going to need to negotiate buying a house, buying a car, buying, you know, some big appliance. But whether you're saving money on a house or, some piece of furniture, you need to be able to sell and negotiate well. So that's a good first one, to start with, because we sell and negotiate whether we really think we do or don't. We actually do every single day. It seems like we have to sell ourselves to new customers. We have to sell ourselves to new friends. We have to sell ourselves to strangers. And then we have to be able to negotiate. The next thing is the ability to convey what you think and feel. Assuming that people don't know what you think and feel, is probably accurate. Most people can't read your mind. So you need to be able to clearly express your thoughts and tell people around you what you think and feel. It doesn't have to be 100% all the time, but there are moments when people are going to ask you for your opinion. They're going to ask you what's going on, and you need to be able to articulate well what your thoughts are. And hopefully in many cases they will be kind of in a cohesive, coherent message that people can understand. Next one, the ability to break a process down into smaller steps. It's hard out there. Think about when you're in school. You have to do a project or you have to write a paper. Maybe it's a essay. Maybe it's a 12-page research paper, whatever it is. Or you're working on a big project, or you're building a big Lego set, or you're working on a car engine, or you're building something. Anyway, if you can break it down into smaller steps, it can help things move along a little bit quicker, but you need to be able to recognize that quickly. It's just setting little goals. Okay, if I'm going to build something, I need to have plans. What are the products I need? What do I need to build? And then you go out and you figure out, well, how much is it going to cost? and then you buy supplies. You might buy them from different places. And then you get everything home, you cut it down to size, and you build whatever you need. That's just one quick example. But if you're taking like a research paper, it might be that you need to come up with a topic. And then once you have the topic, maybe you need to go and find some resources. Maybe you're looking at 5 to 10 resources. Well, instead of saying, oh my gosh, I need to get 10 resources quickly, maybe it's, okay, I'm going to look for 3 today. And maybe tomorrow I'm going to look for 3 more. And then the last day, now you're kind of in the swing of it, I can get to 4. And that'll get me a total of 10. And then it's writing it. And sometimes you need to just write for, you know, write down a whole list of ideas and thoughts that you're having. And then maybe you go and get a snack, and then you come back and you reorganize it and make it a little more coherent and maybe help it to flow a little bit. And then after that, you edit your paper, you reread it, or you have somebody else reread it and give you some feedback. And then you rewrite it again. Then you have somebody else look at it. I mean, these are just taking that huge project or taking that huge paper and breaking it down into smaller steps definitely can make a difference as far as getting it done in a reasonable amount of time. And breaking it down into those smaller chunks makes it more manageable. This is a lot easier of a process than if you take and go, oh my gosh, I have to write this research paper, or oh my gosh, I need to build this thing, this project, and trying to do it all the night before. Please don't do that. Try not to do that. It's more headache and more heartache than it needs to be. Break it down in those small steps and you can move forward. The next one they say is the ability to be quiet, listen, and learn from others. Which is important. Sometimes we get to talking too much that we forget that there are other people here that might have something to say, or they might want to interject. It's important that we give people an opportunity to speak. And you never know. They may have some information that would help you in school or in a job or in a sport or, you know, some activity. But it's important that when they're speaking, we shut up and we listen and we learn. And you never know what you're going to get out of it. Another one here is adapt, improvise, and overcome obstacles. Things aren't always going to go your way. We've talked about this before. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have challenges. How do we adapt? How do we improvise or overcome that obstacle? How do we look back at it and take what we've learned, whether it be a failure or a success? Change is still going to come either way. But how do we take what we learned and adapt to however the world is going to go forward with an obstacle in our way? The quicker you can adapt, the quicker you can figure out how to move forward. Next one is the ability to read, understand, and memorize. I don't know if I recall memorizing being a key in school. I know it was when we did poetry and being able to recite back maybe some information about a story that we read, or being able to understand math problems and such, or science. But when we're reading, we need to read for understanding. And sometimes it may take us to read a passage or a chapter more than once, and that's okay. The idea is that knowledge is getting into your head, or that understanding is helping you to move forward with whatever it is you're trying to learn. And so you need to possibly reread. The whole goal is to make sure that you're exposing yourself to enough texts in the course of your lifetime. This article says it's in enough text in the course of a week, but I really say in a lifetime, because reading and understanding is going to last you forever. You're always going to be reading something, whether it be text from other people, whether it be books, whether it be online, maybe news. You're going to be reading a lot throughout your lifetime. So make sure you're practicing and kind of exerting that muscle of your brain to be able to read and understand. You also need the ability to walk away. There are times when the best solution might be just to walk away. I know that they've said that in negotiating classes before, that if the deal just isn't going to go the way you need it to, you know, you're going to give a little bit, they're going to give a little bit, but if you're still far apart on what that negotiation is. And so I'll use the example of buying a car, that say you go to the car dealership and they want to sell you that car for, you know, $25,000, and you really only want to spend $20,000, but maybe you can bump up to 21, but you want to try and save as much money as you can. Well, the dealer obviously wants to make as much as they can. So they're going to start at $25,000 for the car. You're going to say $20,000, and that's when the negotiation starts. If they say the lowest they can possibly go is only $24,000 and the most you can only go is $21,000, that's when you just go, I can't do it, and you have to walk away. And maybe in the deal of a car or a house or something along those lines, sometimes you might find a dealer is willing to figure out how to make it work for you. But there are going to be instances in when you're talking to friends and you might be disagreeing. At some point, you might not change their mind, they might not change your mind, and that's when you just agree to just walk away and before things get heated and somebody says something that they'd regret. Another one, the ability to manage time effectively. We've talked about this before. You know, 5 minutes early gets you there on time. When you're 5 minutes early, if you're right at the, say you've got a meeting at 10 a.m. and you show up at 10 a.m., you're already late, because by the time you get in and get settled, now you're talking 10:05, maybe later. Try to get anywhere you can 5 minutes early. Manage your time effectively when you're studying, when you're working. Do the best that you can within the time constraints that you have. But, you know, I've seen people, they go to the library to study and then they end up playing on their phone, or they go and start playing a video game on their phone, or they find a friend and they just start talking. And by the time they realize it, they've wasted all their time and now they've missed their study opportunity. Manage your time effectively. Do what you need to do when you're scheduled to do something, and it will make your life a lot easier. The ability to stay positive and optimistic. We all have difficult times, and it is hard to stay positive and optimistic. But some things that I've learned is that by looking back, it's kind of nice to see some of the highlights of your life and think about things that have happened, and that's great. But staying, you know, looking at those negative things just is a waste of energy. We need to figure out how to stay positive and optimistic about what the future is going to hold. And then the article says, in addition, your positivity is contagious, and those around you will also be happier. I've talked about it before, that I know people who just have a gray cloud over them. It's a metaphor, by the way, where that gray cloud, just they're always in the doldrums. They're always unhappy about everything. They can never find happiness in any situation. And it brings a lot of people down. So I try to find the people who are a little bit more positive, a little more optimistic, willing to laugh a little bit. And that seems to make things go a little bit easier. And everybody seems to be happier. Granted, not everything is happy all the time, but try to be around those people who give you that happiness vibe. I'm only going to hit a few more just because we're already running pretty long. They go in to talk about, the ability to understand what others feel, you know, trying to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. That's a good way of thinking about, you know, if you were doing something to somebody, how would you feel if they were doing it back to you? You know, that's just, if you were talking behind somebody's back, or doing things that somebody didn't, you knew they didn't like, how would you feel if they were doing it to you? Another one here, the ability to speak in front of a large audience. Being able to speak in front of an audience is hard, but it doesn't have to be. So go back to the one earlier where you can break things down into small chunks. Practice and practice and practice some more. But don't be afraid to share whatever you have to say. Some people thrive on being a speaker in front of a group. It does take time, and you'll figure out how to calm yourself down and not do you know, those types of things. You'll find a way to speak without having those pauses, those auditory pauses. You'll do great, but being able to speak in front of people is definitely a good trait. And keep trying after failure. We've talked about that one before. You are going to fail at things. It's okay, as long as you learn from them. Another one, ability to invest in yourself. We've talked about learning, you know, putting money into yourself, not just in clothes you wear, because some people really won't care about that. But if you're looking at doing well in business, you need to be educated, and you might want to have a coach help you out, or you might want to have an editor look at a book, or you might want to have somebody just be a sounding board for you. But also, I think that if you think about therapies, some people might need that. That maybe there's a block in their mind that just won't let them get over some obstacle. Maybe the investing in yourself is to go and seek a therapist. Maybe it's getting a coach to help you to overcome some things. Investing in yourself really can't be a bad thing. Last few, the ability to do things irrespective of the situation. Conditions maybe are not always perfect, and you just power through to complete a task. Sometimes good is good enough. It doesn't have to be great. It just gets you through it and gets you done with the process or the project, even when maybe something isn't going great. Ability to self-analyze is a good one. You need to be able to look at yourself and realize, here's where my strengths are, here's my weaknesses. How do I make my strengths better? How do I make my weaknesses better? So on and so forth. The ability to learn how to learn is another one. And we've been talking about learning, I think, since the beginning of this podcast several years ago. It's reading, it's doing, it's taking classes, it's watching somebody else, it's practicing, getting out there and trying. Is the ability to learn. Look, there are things that are going to be scary, but if you can get out of your comfort zone once in a while and learn something new, even if you fail, you're going to learn something. So give it a try. As long as nobody gets hurt and, you know, no buildings burn down, that's okay. Just keep focus on learning to learn. Next couple things, ask for help. That's always a good one. There are people around you that are going to help you. Another one is remaining consistent. It says here, a consistent person is someone who others trust and can do business with. When you stay consistent, you will notice more positivity in your life. And the last couple, the ability to master your thoughts. I know some people who it's just everybody's out after them and nobody likes them and things like that. When you can actually understand that most people have the same fears that you do. Most people have similar concerns that you do. They don't think you like them when you might think they don't like you. But if we can get out of our thoughts and actually talk to people and learn about them, we'll find that our thoughts are actually are putting us in a bad spot in those situations. We can actually put in positive thoughts. We can say, hey, I really want to help support that person because they seem like they're having a bad day. I really want to you know, think about what's my future going to be. I see, you know, a big house, or I see a big promotion, or I see having lots of friends. Whatever it is, master your thoughts in the positive and stop the internal questioning as best you can. We're always going to do it, but if we can slow it down a little bit and we can start thinking about how to master our thoughts and our thinking, it will make us that much better going forward. There actually are more. I'm just going to touch on real quick. The ability to write words to persuade and influence others. The ability to make decisions based on facts rather than emotions. That's a big one. Being able to take something and that's maybe somebody says something and, you know, if you pause and think it through, is this really emotion speaking or is this fact speaking? I know some people who say, oh, nobody likes me. Well, let's back up. Does no one really like you, or is that an emotion? Well, they might feel it emotionally, but the facts are that somebody obviously likes them. And the reality is that they're just playing it emotionally. We need to be able to base any decisions on facts. So that's a quick example. It's probably not a really good example, but at least it's an example. Last couple, the ability to love, the ability to dream big, the ability to try, and last, the ability to never give up. And as this says, and as we've heard from coaches and other mentors, you know, don't give up. Even if you've gone through difficult times, those times are teaching you how to succeed and persevere. Keep trying. Keep going forward. Never give up. Make your life what you want it to be. And with that, I thank you for listening to my kids. I love you. I hope this gives you some push to be the best person that you can possibly be. And I'm sorry that this went a little bit longer than normal for all of you listening, but thank you for hanging in there. And I'll put the link to the article in the recording notes so that if you decide you want to go look at it, I don't know how long it'll be up, but it'll be there. Thanks again. Talk to you later.